somebody speak loudly, change for more than a year, and then become a very prominent guy leading a country. That's President Obama. Yeah. When he's running for his presidency several years ago, the theme is change, change. Whenever we talk about change, we are looking for something better. But it's not guaranteed in politics, in different situations. Many leaders, they want to encourage and to stir up the whole community and say, change, we need to change, we want change. And from the President Obama's his experience and what we see in these several years is not guaranteed. Somebody say change, better or worse, was not guaranteed. For me, my sabbatical, I also looking forward for some change. Change, but what is better or worse? I'm not going to tell you right now. I will tell you later. My sabbatical, people would think that I'm very happy to have 4.5 months of rest. People think, okay, wow, what, so good to be a pastor. You have 4.5 months. I need to think about to be a pastor. After 6 years of ministry, you can have a sabbatical. And this church offered me 4.5 months. People always come up to me and say, okay, you must be very happy. You can do whatever you want to do. Not. The deacon board requests me to have some ministry and also attend some classes. But I can tell you, I'm not happy. Most of my time in my sabbatical, I am not happy. It's not my expected sabbatical. I'm not happy not because of my ministry. I enjoy my ministry, the incarnational ministry, as I've shared with you when the first day I come back when I preached. Serving the marginalized and the unprivileged people, I enjoy very much being with them. And that part, I'm very happy, I enjoy. But that's just that just was my sabbatical, about 1/3 of my time. But 2/3 of my time, I am not happy. I want to see change, but better or worse is not guaranteed. During that time, I think, no, seems that nothing has changed. Comes upon in the last 2 days, almost last 2 weeks of my sabbatical, I met with God. I met with Him. I really talked to Him saying that you have ruined my sabbatical. Wow, you have ruined my sabbatical because I just have left 2 weeks left and nothing has changed. And I'm just wasting time here. You have one thing why I'm thinking like this, because I want to have more time by myself. I leave me alone, I want to have my time. But more than 10 families coming from Hong Kong to visit me in the sabbatical and spread out for 6 weeks. I need to take care for these 10 families. Some of them, they live my place, and I'm even more busier than coming to the church. So during that time, I miss you guys so much. I want to come back to the church because I'm so busy, occupied by many people surrounding me, and I just tell God, leave me alone, leave me alone. I just want to by myself. During that, before my sabbatical, actually, I have a prayer to God. I ask God, I know my situation by that time. My prayer to God is to ask God to give me back the passion in ministry, passion to serve the people. Maybe I have a special with Pastor Justin around me. He is so energetic, so he energized me a little bit. So when you see me, you always see me shadow a little bit of him, have the energy. I'm still young comparing to the other pastor in the church. Yeah, I'm the youngest before Pastor Justin come. But I share some of his energy. So you can see me always cheer you up and also smile and also say, yeah, that's okay, everything will be okay. But deep down, I lost my passion in ministry. I lost my passion. I know I know. I was somehow successfully to maintain the church, but I was not leading the church. I know, because I lost my passion. I still remember the first day when I, 14 years ago, when I came back to the church. The first day I came back to the church as a pastor, and I saw my plate on my door, Pastor Anthony Law. I'm touched. I just talked to God. Who am I? I'm not deserved to be your servant, but you led me to be a pastor to serve your church, and I will pour out my energy to serve you and also serve this church. But after 14 years, seems still okay, but I know I'm not okay. I lost my passion. So I asked God in my sabbatical, give me back the passion. But seems nothing happened, nothing changed. And even worse, families, friends around me, I have no time to be changed, I think. And God keep pushing me into the people. But during the time, I have another plan besides the incarnation ministry. I have taken a training from the On Track Institute of Leadership, which I was also a board member of this institute, and it's helping people to, especially pastors, to be trained to be leader, spiritual leaders. And I have attended a course, a one-year training, mainly to train the pastor, especially the senior pastor, to know how to lead. And throughout this training, there are several, it's unexpected, God used this training. Reverend David Chiu, he guiding us, leading a small group of us. We do a lot of different tests, and also he also give us materials to study and also guide us throughout this training. And I remember one time at the very beginning of my sabbatical, I attend one section. That section also do a lot of tests, and it comes out a result that I really, really not happy and not feeling good. It talks about that there is a result saying that who is the real me, and also who is the me that I'm presenting, people see me, that me. And that two me are not matched. The real me is with vision, with passion, is somebody called to lead. But the presented me in front of people is and also what I'm working is to keep the harmony. Everything okay, everyone okay. And that's what I was doing during that time. So these two me put together, I feel a discontent, because that's not me. I want my passion to come out, but I cannot. So I'm very panicked. So after a whole day of training, I asked Reverend Chiu, can we talk? And he's very tired, but he willing to talk to me. And I share about my ministry, and I share about my passion. But I didn't realize until Reverend Chiu speak to me. He said that, why you keep saying that you cannot do this, you cannot do that, nothing would change. I didn't realize, but find out that that's something I keep saying during the conversation. I cannot do this, I cannot do this. Whatever he suggests me, I cannot do this, I cannot do this. And Reverend Chiu is very kind and very gentle, but comes to the last point, he really mad with me. He shouted to me, he said, Anthony, you can do this, you can do that. I listened, but I said, I cannot. I still say, I cannot. So this panic situation and also finding this make me even worse. Comes to the second time in my another section, I met with I came to the group again. And it's almost in the middle of my sabbatical. So again, we talk about leadership, we talk about our character, our temperament, everything. And we find out one thing. This morning, the song the worship team did us, I'm not sure whether you find some common, there is a word that appears in both songs. It's fear. Fear. Both songs has fear. And when I'm singing, I think, oh God, you really you really in line, everything. During the second section, with all the evaluation, I find that I have fear. I have fear in me. That keeps me from moving on and lead. And actually, in the whole time from my sabbatical, in my devotion, I talk with God, God speak to me. He said, it's now to move on. You are going to lead. It's now to move on. Yes, in the past several years, the church maybe needs some fixing and also something to settle the church during the transition. But now everything is done, and it's time to move on. But throughout the whole process, what I said to God is, no, I cannot move on. I cannot move on. I don't know why, I don't know what, but I just say this. And on that day, on that section, God showed me that it's your fear. It's your fear. I said, no, I have settled my fear already. The fear mainly come from my more than 10 years of my pain, my hurt in my ministry. In the past experience, dealing with different cases, issues, I have hurt and pains inside. I think I have already dealt with that. But during that section, clearly, God told me, and also through Reverend Chiu, I know my fear is so big to a point that I cannot lead. Because every time I think that to some point, I want to move on and also to have a vision to want to lead brother and sister, this fear will come up and I will get back. I cannot continue. That answered the first time the question when Reverend Chiu say, Anthony, you can do that. And I keep saying, no, I cannot. And that time answered my question. So I say, no, I cannot move on. But God told me, yes, in the past, you talk about that's the problem of the church. Yes, by that time, the church still cannot move on because there are so many things need to settle. But I have already cleansed the church. I've already fixed the church. Now it's your problem. Now you are saying that you cannot move on while I'm asking you to move on. I say, no, I cannot. The fear is so big that I cannot lead. I even thought about, in the midst of my sabbatical, I thought about, I cannot come back. When I finish my sabbatical, yes, it's not ethical to take a sabbatical and then 4 months later you say, I'm not coming back. So taking benefit of the church, but I thought about when I come back, one option is I will resign, because there's no point. I'm the lead pastor, I'm a senior pastor, but I come back, I cannot lead. That's the problem. So that's something keep me very troubled, the whole sabbatical and this thing. And together, the families, the friends still around me. So a lot of time, I am not happy. Then comes to the last section. Not the last session, but the session in August. We meet again. And Reverend Chiu share about something about our brain. Yeah, and he talks about, he mentioned there's a medical name called limbic system. Limbic system is talking when we analyze our brain, there's something inside. It's something in the past you experienced, maybe painful experience or something that is not present. You think it's already done, already deal with that. But actually the feeling is there. So it's not about how the process, it's about the feeling still there. So whenever similar situation come up, that feeling will come out and the fear will stir up. And that's why many people, not just pastor, we cannot break through in some of our situation. We want to break through. Maybe in the past there an experience, maybe a hurt, a pain that happened. And that is so deep inside in this system. And we cannot break through. And Reverend Chiu said that that sometimes we always blame on God and saying that he hasn't fixed. And actually, it's this kind of feeling, this kind of system that keeps us from moving on. And what we need to do is to tell ourselves to move on, tell ourselves to break through. And it's not about God, it's about ourselves. And if not, then we cannot move on. It further answered my question. direction. So now I know. First of all, I see I cannot move on, and then I know what is the reason, is the fear. Now talk about how to deal with my fear. But still, afterward, I go back home, I think about that, I pray, and I tell God, I cannot move on. I cannot deal with this limbic system. Then one day, my younger daughter, Phoebe, he asked me for my iPad. I said to her, okay, you want to play game? No, it's not time to play game. She said, no, Daddy, I want to share with you a song. Oh, wow, my daughter is going to share with me a song. And they say, oh, yeah, I heard this on Praise 106.5. I love it very much. I was like, oh, Praise 106.5, I listened together with you. But how come I don't know this song? I know why, because English is my second language. So I always the first come into my mind is the melody. So I always remember the melody, but not the lyrics. But my daughter said that, it's so good, I want to share with you. So today I want to share with you this song, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again.
Like you've never been before, the life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Let that word wash over you. It's alright now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to be. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat. Everything for your good. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there.
Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. And Phoebe not just shared this song with me, and she said to me, Daddy, do you know that there's a story behind this song, how this song is being written? She told me the story. The story is about this. There's a pastor who has a heart problem, and he need to do a very, very difficult and heart surgery. So on that day, during the surgery day, in the surgery room, there are a lot of experts, professionals, and also the surgeons there. So they need to take the heart out, to fix the heart, and to do a lot of complicated thing to try to make the heart back to normal, to fix the heart's problem. So spend hours, they working on the heart, and the heart finally being fixed, and the whole team, they just so happy, and they rejoice, and they just shout of laugh and shout and happy to see the heart is fixed. So then they put it, but afterward, when they put the heart back to the pastor's body, doing that for quite some time, and then they become, their face getting pale and pale. And the problem is the heart is not beating. The heart's not beating. And they try their very best to make the heart beat, and they cannot. The whole team is so panicked. And they know there is no way. They just keep doing and cannot make the heart beat again. And there is a surgeon and come close to the pastor and to speak in his ear. He said, "Pastor, you need to tell your heart to beat again." After he said this, the heart beat. The heart beat. Then this song is written. Actually, what this song is talking about, and what God is talking to me, is our God is the great physician. He can fix anything. And most of the time, He fixed our heart already. He fixed our life already. But the problem is, we are not trusting Him enough. And we are not willing to tell our heart to beat again. I blame on God for a long time. You're not changing me. My passion is not coming back. It's your problem. It's your problem. No, it's not His problem. A quick physician has fixed our life, fixed our heart. On the cross, He's done everything. It's just us not trusting Him, not going to tell our heart to beat again. That's the passion, why my passion has lost. But during that time, my daughter shared this with me, and I'm still in the dark crowd, and they're okay, it's a nice song, not bad, but I didn't realize anything that God is speaking to me. So life continued on, and I haven't held my heart to beat again. But God's work is amazing. He's at work, no matter how we think. My last ministry, I was going to a church to preach, and that church actually have some rumor and also conflict with our church in the past, and also have accusation on me and also the pastor in our church. But after more than 10 years, I'm invited to preach in this church, so I'm excited, and I accept the invitation. But suppose preaching in this church, there will have stir up a lot of fear in me. So, but I didn't really think about this. I prepared a sermon, and then on that day I went to the church. I preach, and I see brother and sister down there. They are crying, and they're touched by the word. And afterward, they come up to hug me, and I feel so joyful, glad, but still not really thinking anything. God is at work. I just find, not bad, yeah. But when I'm driving back home, God spoke to me unexpectedly. He talked to me, "Anthony, you are healed. You are healed." I said, what? You are healed. Where is your fear? I said, yeah, where is my fear? My fear is gone. Not knowing when, not knowing how, not knowing where, but my fear is gone. I blame on God. I think he's not working in me in the whole sabbatical. But comes to the last 2 weeks, he told me that I was working in you. I trying my very best to work on you, and everything was fixed. And when you willing to say, tell your heart to beat again, and really to restore, be restored by my power. To say this, you are healed. And I found that I'm healed. So the last 2 weeks, I'm so excited. I want to come back. I want to meet with brother and sister. I want to come. I know I'm ready to come back to lead. You are healed. And God told me that you have a change. You will have a changed heart, and you will be a different person. I'm not sure whether it's not. I didn't really realize this, but when I come back first Sunday, I preach. And then after that, brother and sister come up to me and say, Pastor Anthony, you are not the same. You are not the same. I said, oh, really? I didn't realize. I said, you are not the same. Your preaching is not the same. Your whole being is not the same. And I did several weeks, I meet with my fellow pastors and also my co-workers and also some of my brothers and sisters. They come up to me and say, you are not the same. You are a different person. Then I know God has changed me. He has healed me when I tell my heart to beat again, and he has fixed me. I think he's not at work throughout the whole sabbatical, and he's working so hard to fix me, to fix my heart, and also to change me to be a different person. Today's passage, you talk about Saul. He also has a changed heart, and also to be a different person. In the passage, if we have no time to talk about what actually the background of this. Actually, Saul was lost. He was lost. He was lost by what? He's lost by finding the lost donkey. He's going to find the lost donkey, but he was lost because he cannot find the donkey. Yeah. But somehow, God led him to see Samuel. Through the conversation, God already talked to Samuel that he's going to fix, to change Saul's heart, and also the Holy Spirit will be on him, and he will be a new person, a different person. So Samuel talked this to Saul, and he tell him that, especially in the passage, in the conversation between Samuel and Saul, Samuel told Saul that in verse, let me see, you know, I changed my glass. I'm getting old. Yes, okay. In verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. This is what the Lord through Samuel to talk to Saul, and you'll be changed to be a different person. And in verse 9, also talk about, as Saul turned and leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. God changed Saul's heart. He has a new heart. He will be a new person. But this two change comes up with an action. You will find that in verse 9, it said, and Saul turned and leave. Turned and leave. Saul need to turn and leave. He's going to find the donkey, the lost donkey, and he was lost. But he need to, when he hears all of this, he know that God is going to fix that. He turned and leave. The word turned has a special meaning. Means declining the past, the back. He need to decline. He need to not cling onto the past, not cling onto what he's heading towards, but leave. Leave means to move on and to lead. But dear brother and sister, I know. I echo with you sometimes. I know some of you may have your burden, may have your fear, may have your pain, may have your hurt in the past. And God has already fixed that. You let him to do that, he's the great physician. He fixed your heart. He fixed your life. But sometimes we just cannot leave that. We just hold on to that kind of thing so tightly, and to a point that we even cannot get away from that. And we are driven to that direction that is not on the way that God wants us to move on. But God said that, I have already fixed. There's one sentence that talking about Saul's father. He's the one who asked him to find a donkey. But when Samuel talked to Saul about what will happen, he mentioned about his father. What the father said, what Samuel talked about the father, his father, what he said, verse.
To see, my Bible is, the word is so small.
I think it's, in verse 2. Yes, okay. He said that the father would say to the people that the donkey set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them, the donkey, and is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son? He's worried about you. What shall I do with my son? This is just like our Heavenly Father. When we lost, when we think that he's not taking care, when we think that we are on our way and struggling and cannot move on, our Father said, our Heavenly Father worried, and he asked, what shall I do about my son, about my children? You are God's children, and God's worried about you. If you cannot see this, what can I do with my son, with my daughter? Here, you are his son, you are his daughter. God is at work. God is powerful. He's the great physician. He can fix your problem. He can heal your wound. He can heal your pain and also your fear. But you need to tell your heart to beat again. You need to leave your back, what is on your back. You need to turn and you need to decline the past and to go and to walk on and to move on and lead. Brothers and sisters, I just want to share my testimony with you today. If not God, I'm not fixed. But also, if I haven't tell my heart to beat again, if I haven't really to have faith in him and willing to move on, I cannot be healed. I cannot experience a healing. So, brother and sister, I just want to encourage you today. I hope that this several hours preparation of sermon, God still used to speak to you, and also my life in the past several months can be an encouragement to you. I'm weak as you. I have little faith as you, but it's by God's grace and also my willingness to tell him, okay, I want to move on. I trust in you and I want to tell my heart to beat again. So tell your heart to beat again and receive the passion. If you are losing your passion, tell your heart to beat again. If you have no more, if you are lost and you don't know how to move on, if you still, also even you think, I cannot move on just like me, tell your heart to beat again. God has fixed you. And in verse 9, it said, and as Saul turned and left Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. Here I just want to be a testimony to you. And all these signs were fulfilled today. Today on me, today in your life, today in our church. God has fixed the church and he said that, move on. Receive the passion, receive the power, and my power will be upon you, upon the church, and move on. I will be with you because you are fixed, you are healed, the church is healed. So just want to share with you this passage today, and whatever is in your heart, whatever in your back, God has fixed. So let's bow our hand and pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that in times that we think you are not at work, in times that we think you are away and you are not helping us, carrying us anymore, but we know that you are here and you are powerfully at work and you know our problem, you know our heart problem, you know what is holding us to really see you and what is the thing that keeping us to have the passion to move on? What is the thing that not letting our heart to beat? You have fixed our heart. And what is important is we need to tell our heart to beat again, to have faith in you, to trust you, and to really to move on, to turn and leave. So dear God, this morning, we know that you are here. You are speaking to us. You know our pain. You know our hurt, you know our fear, you know what keeps us not willing to move on and cannot move on. We keep saying that we cannot, because we are not trusting in you and we are not going to tell our heart to beat again. But show us and speak to us and let us know that we can move on because of you and because of our willingness and also our trust in you. So dear God, I pray for my dear brothers and sisters here. And let us to experience your power. And also let us to be able to move on as a church, to see your healing, and also to see your glory and your kingdom come. So dear Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have done in us, in our church. And we pray that you'll continue to guide us and lead us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.